Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Oh, the hell with it. What's up, everybody? I had a little technical difficulty again. Trying to get this intro music together. I did talk to the higher-ups, and they're supposed to be fixing it. It hasn't gotten fixed yet, so it will be fixed soon. But welcome to Big Daddy Far Talk Volume 31. I got Felicia Brown.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday.
And I also have Faye Elise.
What's up? I'm out on the
background. Yeah, I can hear. How are you ladies doing today?
Oh, you know, didn't have the greatest day, so you guys can all make me feel better by calling in to today's show.
Now, I'm going to start some mess today. The first thing we should say, I have, excuse me for a second. Excuse me. I have Christian Crosby possibly calling in. His brother is hosting the doggone women's Olympic basketball team practices and stuff that's being done at the Madison Square Garden. And he said he would try like hell to call in today because he missed last week. So if he calls in today while he's at the Madison Square Garden, that would be huge. And my man Keith Popley is calling in today. He apologized for last week. He got caught up. But definitely going to call in and talk about Ben Simmons and talk about his opinions on the Sixers roster and everything. And plus his views on the NFL. Because the NFL season quietly is seated. The NFL season is starting in a week. They'll start their preseason soon. So about to go down, and anybody's a real big NFL fan, you know, everybody's getting all excited. So that's about to go down. And also, I wanted to start a discussion. And this is just something that Felicia Brown and I have talked about, and I pretty much know where Faye's opinion is. But this is just something in the black community that goes on a lot. The whole thing with light skin and dark skin and how we supposed to be one people or one accord, but we still stay divided within our own people. And this came to me, like, this has always been an issue. This has always been an issue with me, even since I was, you know, a kid. Because, I've always been a darker skinned person, so, you know, growing up, I used to hear, like, derogatory terms about my skin color. And in the back of my mind, I always kind of wanted to be light skinned because I felt as though, you know, they were treated differently and they were considered to be handsome and beautiful and this, that, and the fourth. And as I got older, I started to notice that, to me, there's no difference. It's how you treat yourself, it is your own self-conscious thing yourself. But we, as a people, and I've been accused of always dating white women or lighter skinned women. And it's not because of that, it's because of a preference that I have, but I have dated darker skinned women, and I still get accused of being, you know, color strong, is what they say. And I disagree with that, and I wanted to get you guys' opinion. Anybody wants to call in, the number is 718-508-9883, and I want to get your opinions on this subject. Alicia, I'll start with you. If you and I have had this conversation, I wanted to get your thoughts. Hello?
Hello?
You hear me?
Barely, but yes. My opinion on the whole color issue, you know, I guess I would be considered more on the lighter side. My mother, she had a friend who, you know, kind of always warned her, and it's sad that she said this, but, I mean, it did, you know, come out to be true. She said, you know, you have to be careful because, you know, you have a daughter who's light-skinned with long hair. You know, she's going to get into a lot of trouble, you know. She might get bullied and, you know, people might be jealous, which is really sad. But, you know, I did experience a lot of that growing up. You know, my family, they never kind of, you know, talk like, you know, how people would expect, which is really sad, that they expect that of others. I guess it goes from, you know, I guess maybe like way back in the day, just our different jargon and dialects. But they would always say, you know, oh, you talk quote unquote white. And it really bothers me. You know, just recently someone said that on, you know, this radio show, I talk quote unquote white, but, you know, on the phone and in person, he said I talk like I think it was a LaQuisha or something, which is just really stereotypical. Yeah, and, you know, to me, it's like, are you saying, well, you know, one is light, one's dark? I really don't understand what talking white means. And I'm like, do you know how stupid you sound right now? Like, the earliest civilizations on this planet were the Egyptians and the Africans. They created, you know, language. And, you know, if you're going to look at it, the American language is borrowed from practically every, you know, country or every continent of this world. Like, we take from Latin, we take from, you know, Africa, whatever. We formulate our own language from everybody else. So there is no such thing as talking white. But I don't know. I understand, you know, what people might, you know, conceive of the colors, but I really don't think it should be. You know, black people are black people, white people are white people, and there's ignorant people in all races and all colors. I don't even know if I'm making sense. I can barely hear myself talk.
I can hear you. It's just, I guess it's on face, and she might be out and about, and it really is hard to hear. So I'm going to get her to try to call back. But I totally agree with what you just said, and my nephew also goes through that a lot as far as the speech part of it. And there's no such thing as talking white and talking black. It's a thing about talking educated.
Right.
And that's where, you know, and that's where we get, as a people, we get it twisted. Because, you know, we say, okay, you know, such and such acts white or talks white. And it's funny because my neighbor has said that to me. We were out there talking one time, and I told her I was from Jersey. And she was like, oh, I wouldn't have known him. You don't talk like you're from Jersey. And I went back in my mind. I was like, well, how was I supposed to talk? Like,
what does that
mean?
She was
like, what am I, ignorant? Like, what did that mean? Like, how did Jersey people talk differently than...
Yeah, you got to talk like the Jersey Shore people.
it's just, we have to get past that. And it's still an issue today. And I see videos, and I know these kids are playing with each other and they're joking back and forth. But light skin, and I might say it, they say the light skin niggas that do this, and dark skin niggas that do that. And I'm like, are we still doing this?
Right.
Like, I thought we were past this. And I guess we're not. And I'm going to tell you what really made me come up with this idea to talk about this today. And don't ask me why I was watching this. But I was watching Jungle Fever.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Don't ask me why. I wasn't nothing else on. Saturday afternoon, wasn't nothing else on. But I'm watching Jungle Fever. It was a movie. And they started to talk about, and the part that got me was when Wesley Snipes confronted his wife after he cheated with the white woman. And she was like, you know how they did me my whole life and how people called me? They called me all these different half-breeds, mongrels, nigger, white nigger, this, that, and the fourth. I'm laughing. It's not funny. But, and I'm like, even on her end, she caught hell. And she was light-skinned, but she, you know, because she was light-skinned, the darker-skinned kids picked on her. And that's, you know, same thing with in the opposite way around, where the light-skinned kids are picking on the dark-skinned kids. I'm like, when does it end? When does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing. And hopefully Faye at least could call back. I had to terminate the call because there was a lot of noise in the background. It was disturbing. So I appreciate your opinion, Felicia.
Yeah, and, it's a hard topic, and, you know, it creates, internal racism, I guess. And, you know,
yeah.
Instead of all banding together, we're creating this, you know, color civil war, and it's just really stupid. People
and
of all
is.
Colors
we
are ignorant, and everybody sucks. Doesn't matter what color you are, everybody sucks.
Yeah, true that. And ignorance is ignorance, and we got to stop being ignorant. And we really got to stop treating our people like that. And
yeah.
Just stop warring against one another. And
there
all
was,
come together, because guess what? The cops are kicking all our asses.
Yeah, we're all one color to them.
Hold on a second. We have a caller. Hey, Lady T, what's going on?
Hey, how are you tonight?
Belated happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, you know I had to chime in on this conversation just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one, that nephew that you're talking about just so happens to be my son. And I understand. I worked hard for that accent that he has. I worked 3 jobs to get him through college to make sure that he has that accent so that he could never, ever go anywhere and be accused of being a buffoon or not knowing how to talk the English language and Spanish as a secondary language. 2, on the light skin, dark skin, we as a people need to stop teaching our kids that. You could look at TV and see the commercials now. There's a commercial now for a sleeping aid where the bad thing is the cat, and the cat is black, but the good one is white, and the white cat
that.
Is walking around. So why is the bad one black?
See,
you know the commercial I'm speaking of.
I know the exact commercial you're speaking of, and I just took it as the dark one being just the nighttime and the light one just being the daytime because you can stay up. But that was me taking it like that. But when I first saw that commercial, I was thinking, like, why is the bad one the black one? But I was like, maybe that's me reading into more.
Well, why
too
couldn't
far
it be red
it.
And blue? Right. So we're
yeah.
still teaching our people, and as for the movies, 20-some years ago when Spike Lee had School Days and you had the light-skinned chicks fighting the dark-skinned chicks. It wasn't cute
yes.
then. It's not cute now. It still offends me to this day. How old is that movie?
But
like 30
Spike,
years old? But nothing's changed.
You're talking about, the movie you're talking about is School Days, and it was done in 1988. And... In Spike's defense, He was just bringing light to the fact that this is an issue in our community. It wasn't like he was, you know, trying to, you know, say, you know, this, that, or whatever. He was just trying to bring light to the fact. He wanted to offend people to say, like, look, this is stupid.
And it's still stupid.
It is still stupid.
And people still talking. And anytime you're on Facebook or whatever they are talking to light skin, dark skin, it's dumb then. You know, I don't even feed into the nonsense then. These are your parents that you're talking about. These are your grandparents that you're talking about. How are you light skin? How are you dark skin? Does anybody even look back into the genealogy? Do they even know how to spell genealogy? So stop it with the madness.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
That was my 2 cents on that issue. I'm sorry.
I appreciate the call. We appreciate the call.
All right. See y'all.
Bye.
All right. See you
later.
Thank
you.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of advertisements like that. There was one for, I forget what it was, but it had a bunch of kids around the pool. I think it was about pool safety, and it had, like, the behaviors that you weren't supposed to do versus the behaviors you were supposed to do. And it had all the colored children doing the behaviors you weren't supposed to do and all the you know, non-colored children doing all the good behaviors or, you know, displaying all the behaviors you were supposed to do. There are so many advertisements like that, and it just needs to stop, because what it's doing is it's putting that in, you know, children's mind, and then they grow up with it, and, you know, it's rough. There's, like, papers in schools. You know, I'm an educator. There's a bunch of, like, papers that say, place an X over the thing that is different. And now, you know, researchers are seeing that. That's creating a negative, you know, a negative vision or idea in children's minds. So now they're saying, oh, something that might be different, you know, instead of putting an X over them. It makes them think that whatever is different is wrong, or whatever is a different color than their own color is wrong. So it's all about, you know, being inclusive and just letting kids know that, you know, no matter what color you are, there's good and bad in all colors.
I also remember a commercial, and I'm, you know, this, when you said what you had said, it brought another commercial in my mind. This commercial might have been maybe 3 years ago, possibly 4 years ago, and this one stuck in me because it actually caused a little bit of a controversy. And I'm like, are we still on this till today? But it was that Cheerios commercial where
with
the mother was white. Yes, with the biracial family, you know, father was black, mother was white, and they had a biracial child. And, you know, and the little girl's cute as a button. And, but people had got pissed off behind this. Like, they shouldn't have that on TV and this, that. I'm like, wait a minute, are we still stuck in 1955? Like, really?
Yeah.
That is the family now. Like, the family dynamic now. I know so many black men with white women, or black women with white men, and there's so many biracial kids out there. My wife is biracial.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with that, and we shouldn't have a problem with that. That's how the world is going to be, and we have to get past that. Like, they got so pissed off behind this Cheerio commercial. Like, it's a damn cereal commercial. Really? It wasn't like the black dude was frying the Cheerios up in watermelon juice with chicken grease or something like that. It was nothing stereotypical. It was the average family, and, you know, the little girl, one commercial, the little girl poured cereal all over the top of him to help him with his heart. And the next time he did a commercial, the mother was pregnant with another child. And they were trying to explain to her the fact there's another child coming. and she has the parents for a puppy. And it was, I thought it was a cute series of commercials, but they only made two because everybody was up in arms about it.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Right.
And it's just tiring, and I'm going to get off the subject. I just really wanted to bring that to light, and I was trying to push a button, and I'm glad I pushed one person's button. Anybody else that wants to call in with their opinion, I said the number is 718-508-9883. Call in and give your opinion. Now, this past week was the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. Hillary Clinton accepted her party's nomination to be the first woman president. And I watched a lot of the highlights, but I didn't watch the convention like that. I just didn't want to get into it. I didn't really want to say it. But I know you did, Felicia.
Uh-huh.
I know you did. So I wanted you to speak on what you saw. You watched a lot of the speeches. You were pretty much into it every night, which I admire about you because you are a very social conscious person. So I would
mm-hmm.
like to get your opinion on what you saw this last past week with the Democratic National Convention.
Okay, well, I guess first I can, you know, start by saying if anybody really knows me, you know that I am a registered, you know, one way, but it says one thing on my card, but I look at myself and a lot of my views are more so moderate, so I'm like kind of in the middle. Some of my views are left, some of my views are right. You know, I wish there was a way to kind of, you know, register a certain way and have your vote still count, but whatever. I watched both conventions. You know, both of them were very supportive of their candidate, I guess, even though a lot of the Republicans are still, you know, not on board with Trump, which is funny. But, yeah, we saw at the DNC, we saw speeches from Chelsea Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama, President Barack Obama, and they were all just really Cory Booker. They were all, you know, really inspirational. And I must say I was, you know, neither on board with Trump or Hillary as of yet. You know, I see a lot of, you know, bad in both of them. But, you know, some of these speeches and testimonials, you know, backing Hillary, it kind of gave me a little faith and a little sigh of relief that, you know, I think we'll be okay if she is our president. And, you know, we can say what we want about her. She is the most qualified person to be the president of the United States. She has tons of experience, and I think people just need to realize that, you know, even before she was in the White House, she was advocating for a lot of different minority groups, whether it be disabled children, you know, African-Americans, women, everything. So me personally, we all make mistakes. I feel like she was never malicious. She just, you know, made some poor choices, which we all do. But me personally, being a female who is African-American, I feel that I would rather a president that has a heart for the people rather than, you know, a wallet that's for the 1%. And I feel like that's what Donald Trump has. So I can't vote for someone who I feel does not have our best interests at heart and cares about us. And I feel that Hillary Clinton, no matter what mistake she made, she does actually have a heart for the people and care. Plus, I want to see Bill Clinton back in the White House.
I would love to see Bill Clinton back in the White House. And if it happens, I'm going to pop so loud to see him back in there once again. I'm going to pop. I just think that is so huge.
The Royal Rumble entrance.
Yup, sure enough. When he comes back walking through there, like, like when AJ came back. Bill's back. But, like you said, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. She made her mistakes and get over it, okay? Because trust me, I'd rather see her there. Somebody who's been hidden around through the White House for years with her husband. She was Secretary of State.
Yes. Sorry.
Head of State.
Secretary of State. That's what she is now, right? Yeah.
Yes. She's Secretary of State. She has been in politics and in that eye for a very long time. She has dealt with so much that she would be the perfect fit that we need now, because she's dealt with so much, because she's been around it. And I just don't want people to think, okay, I hate to say this, but we already got the nigga in there, so now we got to get a woman in there next.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah. I don't want it to be a default, yeah.
No, I want her to get in there because she knows what she's doing. And to be honest with you, I was originally last year, or maybe a year and a half ago, when Joe Biden was going to come in right after Obama, but he chose not to. Okay, he chose not to. I'm past that. And then I was kind of a Bernie supporter. But Bernie didn't get the vote she needed. And it was killing me because the highlights I was seeing and different stuff I was seeing that the Bernie supporters were picketing and having demonstrations because he wasn't going to be in there. I'm like, no, we all got to band together now. Okay, he didn't get enough votes. Hillary beat him. Get past it. Let's all get together and keep Trump out that office. So that's how I felt on that. Anything you want to tie in there before I go to our first commercial?
No, I'm a huge Bernie supporter. I was voting for him. I just hope that Hillary does more with him. She said she's going to work with him on the free college, debt-free college. So hopefully she does more with him. I would have liked to see her have picked him as her running mate, but that didn't happen. But I really am a big Bernie Sanders supporter.
And like we said last week, if y'all don't like it, go vote.
Yep.
Go to the polls. Yep. Don't not like it and then sit on your ass and complain. You don't like it, go vote. And on that note, I'm going to take this first commercial. Hopefully Keith will be calling in at 6:30. Galicia, thank you for your opinion and your views. You always give great opinions, great views, and that was pretty good. I enjoy having you on here. I hope when Faith gets free, she can call back in. Anybody wants to call in, 718-508-9883, Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 31.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest, part of the movie Unbreakable's filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our Wacky Stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
And we're back. Big Daddy's Heart Talk, Volume 31. Keith hasn't called in as of yet, so he should be calling in shortly. But until he does, we're going to talk a little wrestling talk. And then hopefully he'll call in the next couple minutes. Last week was the inaugural. I don't want to say inaugural. I'm not going to use that word. Last week was the first week where we've seen the brand split for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't want to use that word because it's happened before. But the new, and I'm doing Air Bunnies, the new Raw and the new SmackDown Live. And I hate the fact that they say SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
We know it's live. Why do you have to say live? I hate that. Like, just say SmackDown.
Right.
I don't get it. Anyway, because you and I agree a lot. We have said that before. That's just... Because when I hear you say SmackDown Live, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking it's a house show. Because that's what they used to use when they used to have their house shows. Come watch SmackDown Live at the Wells Fargo. Anyway. both shows, I felt as it was very good. I think SmackDown might have kicked Raw's behind a little bit at the fact that SmackDown announced the return of Shelton Benjamin to SmackDown,
yeah,
which was huge. And also they talked about, not talked about, showed up with Rhino from NXT, and he's going to be on the SmackDown roster. And you and I had a different opinion on Rhino's return. what's your opinion on the whole Rhino thing?
Well, I remember saying to you that, you know, I thought it worked for him. For me, it works better to be on, you know, one of the main shows rather than NXT. I guess his purpose on NXT was, you know, to kind of maybe groom or polish the guys, but you know, I forget what I said to you exactly, but it was a good point. But, you know, I think having him on SmackDown works. There has to be, you know, some vets on both shows. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know how long he has with the company or, you know, if this will even work. But, you know, what we're going to see is how to properly do a spear on one of the main shows, because a certain superstar on that other show doesn't really, you know, I don't like his spear, but, and I don't think he should be using a spear as his finishing move, whatever. That's a different subject.
Roman Reigns. Honestly, the spear is overly used anyway.
Yeah.
So once Edge started using it as a finish, I was like, okay, this is pretty much enough. Because Edge now, like the spear was.
Yeah, and like Caitlyn, once she, I'm like, come on, it's over. Please.
And what's your opinion on Shelton Benjamin coming back?
I am elated for Shelton Benjamin. You know, I'm kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't really follow what he was doing after his first WWE stint, but I'm excited. I was in my head, you know, listing all the people he can work with. He can be working with AJ and, you know, Cruz and, like, Dean Ambrose. I'm just really excited for what they're going to do. You know, we'll see if his age has gotten the better of him, if he can still do what he, you know, does. At one point, Shelton Benjamin was that guy that we looked to in, like, you know, ladder matches and Royal Rumble spot. It wasn't always Kofi. It used to be Shelton Benjamin. So now I'm excited to see what Shelton Benjamin can do and, you know, the nostalgia he'll make me feel. Hopefully he'll link up with Gable and Jordan. I'm excited to see if he'll link up with them. So there's a lot
American
of possibilities.
Alpha, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we have a caller. It's not Keith, but we do have a caller. What's up, bro?
Hey.
You on the air?
Hey, what up, bro? What's going on? This is Aaron. How y'all doing?
Hello.
What's going on?
Hello, how you doing? Good. I didn't listen earlier, but I read the description of the show about light skin and dark skin. It's something that I have to I go through it because I have a daughter that's half Italian and half black. Geographically, she's black because she's Sicilian and all that stuff. I ain't going to get into the details and all that with the Sicilians and the Africans, but it's all the same. So I'm just basically teaching her that, you know, she's going to go through a lot of things. And she's been through discrimination and stuff like that, and she didn't even notice it. And she's about to start college. And I was telling her that that's where she's going to get a lot of it at, you know, because she gets it from black girls. They, you know, she doesn't fit in with them because she was basically raised white. And the black girls will be like, well, she thinks she's white. I mean, but she does have a right because she's half white. And then the white people, it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's a crazy situation. I could talk about it because I know her family's not listening or nothing like that, but she has a sister that's half black and half white too, and her sister knows her roots. Her sister is blacker than a motherfucker, but with her, she's not because she hasn't been around black people. You know, she hasn't been around, you know, things I probably talked to you personally about, you know, issues of her mother keeping her away from her black side of her family. So that affected her when she was older. So now she's grown and everything, and I have to remind her that she's black, you know. I told her, you know, if somebody comes into a room and says, all you niggas better run now, I'm shooting you all, you better start running. You better start running because they ain't going to try to – they're not going to want to hear, hey, you know, I'm half black, half white, and, you know, they ain't trying to hear that. You know, so she'll be called – she's about to embark in college, and she'll be called her first nigger probably. You know, she probably already has been and just didn't notice it or whatever. But what I'm saying is she gets it from both sides. She gets it from the white people. She gets it from the black people. And, you know, I try to educate her and tell her, you know, I didn't know. I don't regret having a child by a white woman, but I didn't know what the consequences was going to be when they got older. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that I was going to have these conversations, that both races are going to look at you down on you or look down on you a certain way and stuff like that. So if I had a chance to do it again, I, you know, her mama would have been black. You know what I mean? But it's just, you know, that's just the way that, you know, that's the way society is and stuff like that. But she has to go through that.
And like you said, she's going to have to deal with that for the rest of her life. And it's just like we had said earlier, it's just sad. And we have to educate our kids early about the different things that they're going to go through in life like that. And and you will figure, and this is no fault to you, but when you, you know, when you were with her mother, you were, how would you really supposed to know that in 2016 she would still be going through this?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I didn't
like,
know.
You didn't know that. And it just, it happened. And we're still going through this, and she's still going through this. And it's just the ignorance on the outside world's fault. It's not no fault to yours. If that's who you chose to have a baby with, that's who you chose that baby with. You were in love with her. Y'all did what y'all did. You had the baby. It was cool. It was no fault to you. The fault is with society that they are still marking this kid as different because she's not different.
Mm-hmm.
She's like everybody. And, and guess what? The way society is going down, it's going to be a whole bunch of kids like her.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, listen.
It's
going to
be a whole bunch of kids like her. So we're going to be the minority.
Her boyfriend is white, and everybody that she dealt with, like her boyfriends, they were always white. She likes white boys and stuff. So she's probably going to marry a white boy. So with her color and the white boy's color, my grandbaby will probably be a white grandbaby. You know what I mean? And I don't have no problem with it. I ain't got no problem with it at all. You know, so, I mean, it's something that I just never thought about when I was younger and stuff like that. You know, it's just... Never thought I would have these conversations, you know, and stuff like that. But at that time, you're not thinking about it. You're just thinking about pulling out in time back then, you know what I mean? And then you just...
Here we go. And on that note, Aaron, let me let you go.
My poor
thanks for calling in, brother.
The 90s, right? All right, thanks. I'll see y'all.
Thanks for calling in, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Later. I had to cut that one quick because I knew that where that was going.
You know, I was going to ask him a question.
I'm sorry, but before he got on that roll.
It's fine. It would have turned into something because he's actually the person that commented on the way that I talk. So I was going to ask him, you know, well, you know, what are you teaching your daughter when it comes to how she might talk, you know, what is she around that could possibly affect how she talks? And if she is, you know, educated, you know, she's going to sound educated. So do not use the words, you know, oh, you talk white. I don't understand what that means. White people do not own language. It's ridiculous.
White people, let me clear that up a little. White people do not own proper grammar.
Right.
And you have proper grammar. You speak properly. And there's no problem with that. And to your credit, I admire that. And I'm sorry I cut him off before you had a chance to ask him that question.
Oh, no, it's fine. Because it would have that button you wanted to press, it was right there.
I'm sorry. Yeah, what he said, he was just concentrating on what he was concentrating on. I'm like, oh, let me cut this one quick because this is about to get raunchy.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, all right. We're going to take another commercial break and we're going to come back. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 31.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer.
For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson with TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
And we're back. Big Daddy's Heart Talk Volume 31. This is Big Daddy with my ride or die, Alicia Brown. Downtown Brown.
Wait, what?
Downtown Brown.
All right.
Get down, Brown.
See, we need to work one on that one.
No, I'm just joking with you. We're going to get into, once again, my brother ain't called, so I'm going to stop fucking him. But movie reviews. We have two of them, and these movies just came out this past week. Well, one last week, this one this week. Jason Bourne and what was the other one?
Star Trek.
Oh, Star Trek Beyond. Wow, I'm getting old.
The geek forgot
we're
his own geek movie.
So I did. I obviously did. We're going to start with Star Trek Beyond. And anybody that's listening, I might have made a Trekkie. Because Alicia Brown did not want to see Star Trek at all. She said no. She said she would not go. She said she would be fiddling with her phone. She would be eating popcorn and throwing it at the screen. She had no interest in seeing that movie at all. And she saw it. And your opinion, Alicia Brown.
I don't know if I can label myself as a Trekkie. I wouldn't want to disrespect, you know, you guys and your little group. I don't know. But I am able to follow with the characters. I do know that much, so I'm not completely ignorant to the franchise. But, yes, I actually enjoyed it. And it's sad because I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie, but, you know, from what I understand, it didn't follow any of the movies prior or, you know, any of the show or anything. So did I enjoy the movie because I really didn't, you know what I was watching? Or, you know, I don't know. But for me, my rating would be for Big Daddy Booty for Star Trek Beyond. I was familiar with the characters, like I said, and the actors that played them, and I'm a big fan of most of the actors that was in the movie. The makes, the action, the CGI, whatever, it was all really good. And the story was, you know, told well, whatever story they were trying to tell. I don't know. But thank you for enlightening me to see that movie. I don't know if I'll see the other ones or if I'll start watching reruns of the
you
show,
will.
But it's a start. Now
you will.
Now
you will.
Nah.
You're hooked. You're hooked. Now, my opinion on Star Trek Beyond, I thought it was a good movie. Some people would argue to say it didn't follow the other two, but it didn't necessarily have to follow the other two. I thought it was a great movie. I think Chris Pine as Captain Kirk, James
mm-hmm.
Kirk, was cool. Idris Elba, I think, stole the movie. He was the villain, and you wouldn't even have known that was Idris Elba in that makeup. The makeup job they did on him was perfect. He did well. He's a great actor. And I would also have to give it a 4 Big Daddy Booties because I think it was a very good movie. The
Excellent.
Next movie is one that just came out this weekend with Jason Bourne. I'm going to start with this one and I'm going to let Felicia give her opinion. I think it was a good movie. I think it started off, you know, typical, you know, espionage back and forth, them trying to find Jason Bourne. There was a lot of action in it, a lot of great action. The last scene of the movie, like the last big action fight scene in the movie, I don't want to give too much of it away, but I'm sitting there with the screw face like, really? Really? Like, this would really happen. I understand, you know, it's a movie and there's a lot of action and stuff happens, but I'm like, come on, don't insult my intelligence too much. But altogether, I give it a 3, 3.5. I'm saying 3.5 Big Daddy Booties. That final action scene, I'm just like, come on. But it was very good. It had a couple of twists and turns in it. And Matt Damon did an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
He looked, you know, no homo. He looked amazing. You could tell he's been in the gym working out. And it's a good movie. Your opinion, Felicia.
I'm a huge fan of the Jason Bourne or the Bourne movies. I feel that it was really good. You can tell by the end that there will be a sixth one, which is crazy. I'm not too big on movies going past a certain amount of movies, but, you know, as long as you can continue to tell a story, I guess it makes sense. I was a huge fan of all the twists and turns. There were about 3 that I can count, big, like, plot twist or, you know, somebody stabbing somebody in the back. I feel what you're saying on the action scene at the end, but it is a movie, and come on. The fight scenes were great. Huge shout out to Tommy Lee Jones and Vincent Castle. Big fans of Vincent from his other movies. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well. 3.5 Big Daddy Booties. We'll see where they go from here with the franchise.
Okay, cool. Appreciate your opinion. Now, we do have a caller waiting, and this is the guy of the hour. My man Keith, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How you been, Big Daddy? You feeling a whole lot better, Ryan?
I'm doing very well. You're on Big Daddy's Hard Talk, and I got Felicia Brown here with us.
Hello.
How you been?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. I've been out of it the last couple of weeks, y'all. I'm on this vacation, and it's called sleepcation. I just keep falling asleep.
Yeah, everybody needed that. But I wanted you to call in Because, you know, I know you followed the Sixers, them in Utah, you were with them in Vegas, and I wanted your opinion on Ben Simmons. What did you think? You saw him up front and personal. You were there. How do you think he looked? How did he mesh with the rest of the team? What are other people saying about him? What's your opinion?
All right. I think he's raw. I think he has to develop a jump shot. I think he needs to be a little bit more selfish at times with the ball. But with all that said, he's a special player, man. I mean, this dude is good. Like, you know, the thing about Philadelphia is he's always had, like, a superstar, a guy who just wasn't number one at his position. You know, he was arguably one of the top five players in the NBA at this particular time, talking about AI, talking about Dr. J, talking about Barkley, Moses, you know, Wilt, all of them. So this guy has a chance to be that type of player. And we're talking about some of the things that he can't do. But when you look at him and you see, like, his passing ability, you see his court awareness, you see his leadership qualities, I mean – you know, it's like this guy is going to be special, man. He really is. I mean, he's going to be a special player in the NBA.
Okay. That's what I wanted to hear. Because I watch some of the league games. I can't say I watched all of them, but I watched a lot of them. An argument has been in the neighborhood, that boy needs to shoot more. That boy don't look like he's this or that. How come he set out this game and he's soft and this, that, and the fourth? He didn't have to play that many games, in my opinion. He played what he needed to play. He showed what he needed to show. And I watched him distribute so nicely that I'm like, well, he's going to lace everybody up nice. There's going to be so many dimes being dropped by him that he's going to be like in the top assist leaders in the league. And I like his size, you know, and I'm just looking forward to the future. And what you just said made me feel better. Because I was wondering, like, what's being said behind the scenes about him. Because we see one thing, but I know you hear something else. But when you said
that's totally
what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people are on – I mean, the thing is, again, like, you know, stuff that people are saying, oh, he needs to shoot more, he needs to do this, he needs that. All that's correct. But when you look at him and you see the things that he can do, and again, it was the summer league, but you look at and you see the things that he can do, this guy is special, man. And it's like for people who thought, and there was a lot of people out there who was like, don't take him, take Brandon Ingram. Man, it's not even close right about now. It's not. I mean, this dude is going to be special. The funny thing about it is, it's like he has so much to learn. You know, I'm not saying that he's going to go out here and be like Magic Johnson as a rookie and take the Sixers far and win a championship. No, but what I'm saying is he just turned 20 years old. I think he's what, 99? Maybe he's 19. I don't even know if he's 20. He's probably 19. No, yeah, he is 20. He just turned 20.
He's
so
20.
It's one of those. It's one of those things where, you know, he's young. You know, he should be a sophomore in college, and it's going to take him a couple years. But after those years come, he's going to be special. We're going to look at something, and we're going to say, like, wow, this year. I mean, you know, we sit close by each other. I got a feeling we're going to come over at the end of a quarter, end of the half, and say, did you just see that? And another thing, a lot of people ain't pointing out, like, you know, he should have dimes. Well, this dude would have had at least four or five more dimes per game in the summer league if dudes wasn't missing easy shots. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
yes.
It was like he was delivering the ball too. You know, now is he going to be a guy that's going to be one of the top 10 or top 5 scorers in the NBA? No, that's not his game. His game is distributing the rock.
And he does that well. He does that very well. And I was extremely impressed. Like, he could have put on a highlight show or like a highlight clip of just him passing the ball through the summer league, and it was very nice. And I've seen Rashad Holmes a lot, you know, a recipient of these passes. I was like, whoa, Like, he made Rashawn Holmes look like a beast, the way he was distributed. So you can imagine when, you know, the season starts and he has everybody else around him, he's going to make everybody else around him look good. Now, here's a question that I also have I wanted to throw at you, and Felicia probably wanted to throw at you too, but we've been hearing trade rumors with Okafor at Boston, and is that just rumor or is that something that's going to happen?
Here's the deal. Boston would prefer, if you really ask Boston, they would prefer to have Nerlens Noel. They would. They tried to get Nerlens on the draft. It didn't go through. You know what I mean? They like, you know, the Sixers basically was asking for more and more, and Boston wouldn't give it up. So, you know, Boston likes they like Ja. They, but it's like they came back and say, yeah, well, you know, we'll take him, but we're not going to give you anything for him, you know, or we're not going to give you what you think you should get for him. And, I mean, like, the thing is, you know, a lot of people are talking about, yeah, he can score points, but can he defend? And the thing that's really scaring Boston is this off-the-court incident that he had. You know, Boston, they don't like seeing people.
It was in Boston. That's the funny thing.
In Boston, exactly. So, you know, that's scaring them a little bit. And at the same time, let's keep it real. Everybody knows that the Sixers have to get rid of one of the two. So with that being said, it's not like teams are trying to give up anything to get them. You know, they're trying to, like, you know, until that team, like, let's say the season starts, and that other team really needs a big to make a to make a playoff push or something like that, you know, or to go far, then they say, okay, maybe we may make a trade and give up something equal value. But until then, they're not going to give the Sixers anything. So it's not a rumor.
No.
But, you know, Boston is letting it be known, like, hey, if you want to get rid of them, we'll take them. But don't expect getting something of what you think is equal value for them.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Now, Felicia, did you have any questions?
No, that was it. You got it right on the head.
Now, Keith, I'm going to ask you one more question, and I'm going to let you go. Now, we were having a talk earlier, and it's off the basketball topic. This is on something else. We were having a debate on the whole light-skinned, dark-skinned thing. And, and I hear you laughing already. What's your opinion about that?
I don't really like, personally, I don't like it. I mean, it's weird because, you know, my mom is real, real light, and my dad is real, real, real dark, you know what I mean? And So I guess I'm a little bit in the middle with my brother, but, I mean, I don't know. I think it's bad because, it's weird, like, I remember, like, back in the day, it was one of those things where people used to get judged because of their complexion. And certain people thought other people looked better because of that. And then all of a sudden, people start saying blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, and stuff like that. But I always, I personally think is a way for us, you know, it sets us back a little bit as a people when we start talking about that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that personally, like, you know, we got a lot of different women who are coming, different complexions, different shades, and that makes them so unique and so beautiful in my eyes.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Because there's not a lot of races who can say that. You know what I mean? None, I don't think. You know what I mean? Either, like, you know, you're German, you got blonde hair. You know what I mean? White, blonde hair. You go Ireland, most of them have red hair, and they have black hair, something like that. But they don't come in different shades and different complexions. And when I hear us saying that, it's kind of like I feel like we have outsiders coming in trying to make us feel like other people look better or, you know, because of that. And it's not always just because they're light-skinned. Sometimes people say, hey, I like the dark-skinned one better. But I think it shouldn't be about that. It should be about, you know, all of them are beautiful women and handsome men, or, you know, if you're a lady saying that. So I don't really get into it. I just don't, you know. And I never base my relationships off of that. If I like you, I like you. You know what I mean? It's just like I wasn't one of those dudes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Brother, I appreciate you calling in. Look,
yes.
If you ain't busy this week, maybe we all get together, me, you, and Bruce get together, get some lunch or something. You know, hang out a little bit.
I'm going to D.C. I'll be back on Sunday, but I'm telling you this, that I don't go back to work until September the 19th, so... Like, I'll be around, so if y'all want to get together, like, after this week, I'd definitely love to do it. Because I'm going crazy, man. Like I said, all I'm doing is sleep. Going stuff around the house.
All right. Cool. Thank you, brother. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah. So now, any Sixers fans out there listening, start getting excited.
Yeah.
It's still going to be rough. We're not going to win everything. Throw that out there. You're not going to make it to the championship this year. But you're building something in a positive way. Golden State did not get good overnight. Okay? Golden State got good when they started to build. They didn't get LeBron James met up with Kyrie Irving, met up with Kevin Love and built a super team. No, they built it through the draft and they built it through free agency, and that's what we're doing now. We haven't even tapped the free agent bug yet. So we haven't. It's funny, we were just talking about this, you and I were. We have a ton of money sitting around waiting for a free agent to come in and take it. So once we start to play good as a unit and these young boys start balling real good, trust and believe, free agents are going to beat down our doors trying to get in here. Be afraid, NBA. Be very afraid. And on that note,
start getting gear now.
Yeah, start getting your gear now, because you're going to see us down there cheering and going nuts. And come on down, say hi to me. Come on.
Fans.
No, we are not fair weather fans. And
no,
just,
so we don't
and
want
I'm going to say that a lot. You and I set through a 10-72 season. So if we can sit through that 10-72 season, we're going to be there when we get good. Can I get a witness?
Yes. We don't want any fair weather fans. And, yes, if you are at a game, please say hello to Big Daddy.
And say hello to Felicia Brown, too. She's there a lot. Say hello to both of us. But on that note, we're going to wrap this show up. Thanks, Keith, for calling in. Thank you, Terrence, for calling in. Thank you, Lady T, for calling in today. Very good show today. Faye, I apologize for her and apologize to her. She was out and about. She still tried to call in. There was just a whole lot of background noise. She really couldn't hear. And we want to make our show the best show for you guys as well as us, and we have to be able to do our job to the best ability. So things happen, but hopefully she can call in next week. Any last words, Felicia?
No. Be good, everybody. Thank you. And keep it classy.
And I just want to say keep an eye on your elderly. Because it's cool or somewhat cool today, but the weather, you know, you get in the dog days of the summer, which is August,
and your pets
out
too.
There, so. Yeah, and your pets. Trust me, they feel it just as bad as we do. So don't leave your dog outside all day in the heat. You know, let them come in and catch some of that cool air, and you know.
Yeah.
Don't let them. And please don't leave them in your car with the windows rolled up or leave with the windows cracked, because you got to figure, if it's 100 degrees outside or 95 degrees outside or something like that, it's like 100 in your vehicle, and you leave these pets in there, dying. Like, don't do that to your animals. If it's that hot and you got to run somewhere, leave them at home with the air conditioner, and when you come back, they'll be there. You must take them. Leave the windows rolled down or leave them tied in the car with the windows down or something, but don't leave them with the windows up.
Same with your infants, too. Do not leave your infants in the car. I don't care if you're going to the ATM. Do not do that.
totally agree. Totally agree. Hold on a second. I was trying to do something and I lost train of thought. But like again, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being there with us through this, and hopefully Christian can call in next week. But like I said, the brother was busy. He's with the Women's Olympic basketball team, so that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, that is incredible. His brother is really blowing up, and I'm glad to say I can honestly say he's my friend. But on that note, there's three different types of people in the world, those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like Big Daddy, Valisha Brown, and Faye Jackson that make things happen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if a man in Christ be a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. For the wages of sin and death is the gift of God through eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That was Romans 6:23, the second one I read. The third one was Mark 16:16, and I always ended, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, who shall believe in him shall not perish, but be given everlasting life. He sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. John 3:16-17. God bless you all. Good night. See you next week for volume 32.
Good night,
goodbye,
everyone.
Everybody.